Hi, everybody. Sorry. I'll try to dodge. Or maybe I'll do something. So, hi. What a funny thing how I ended up here. And I just want to tell you a little bit about myself so you know where I'm coming from. Well, I'm a teacher, so I get a little nervous at a thing like this because I'm talking to grown-ups, you know. It's not the same as talking to a classroom full of kids. So I teach high school in Cherry Hill. And I've been there 12 years, and I've been teaching in total. This is my 15th year. I taught for a couple years up in Trenton. So from the time I was very small, my mom is here. Hey, Mom. From the time I was very small, I've always loved to read. My dad was really always with a book with me all the time from the time I was very small. In fact, I think when I was a kid, I drew inside of the inside of one of my books, and my punishment was they took my books away for a week. They put them all in a clothes hamper and took them away. Remember? I think I did a political cartoon about the Iran hostage in like 1977 or 78. Yeah, so anyway, they took away my books, and I've always loved reading and writing, and this isn't really the focus of the story tonight, but when I was 18, I became a mom for the first time. I was a teen mother, and that kind of began a journey of, you know, many years of trying to get my life back on track in terms of getting my education. And in the meantime, I got married, and then in the meantime, I had two more children, and I was a teacher. So my love for writing kind of fell to the back burner. And once I was done college, I wasn't required to write anymore, so that kind of went to the back burner. When I was 37, I took up running. I was never athletic. I was never, I was overweight my whole adult life, but I thought after my last child was born, I was sick with diabetes with him when I was pregnant, and I thought, well, folks are doing this couch to 5K, and it looks like maybe you could go from being on the couch to running a 5K. That's my kind of thing. So I got the app on my phone, and I trained, and I gradually over time, my body got conditioned, and I was able to run a little bit. So that was fun. That was good. But what would happen is every summer I would do this, and then I would go back to school, and it would peter out, and I would lose my stamina. So 2 or 3 years into this cycle, I finally said, you know, this is crazy, because it's good for me. It's bringing health to my body that I haven't had my whole adult life. And I ended up signing up for a race in November so that I would be forced to continue running to prepare for the race, because I had already paid for the registration, and I didn't want to look like a big liar if I didn't run the race. So I did that. And then I kind of found out, like, I felt good about this. So I began running longer races. I did a 5K, 10K, 15K, 10 miler, and then a half marathon. And in 2015, I ran three pretty long races. And through the training for the half marathon in the fall of 2015, actually right about this time of year, 3 years ago, I started to notice a pain that I self-diagnosed, you know, because I had the internet to help me. So I self-diagnosed what I thought it was, IT band syndrome. I kept running. I ran the race. And then about mile 11 of the half marathon, I wasn't sure I could finish because I was in a lot of pain. But I was like having like a one-on-one with Jesus as I'm running. And I was like, you already ran 11 miles. You might as well just finish. So I finished. And 6 weeks later, I was diagnosed with a herniated disc, two bulging discs, and two kinds of stenosis in my spine. And the chiropractor told me, you can't run anymore. So that was a big blow, because this had been like, finally I was getting my health together, I was running, I was feeling good about myself, and abruptly, very abruptly, that was over. In fact, my main focus was, how can I do therapeutic treatment without having surgery? I was scared. Like, the thought of somebody putting a knife near my back was my last resort. So I did a conservative option, and for several months, my part-time job was to go three times a week to the chiropractor to get adjusted, and I was in a lot of pain during that time. And what the Lord began to show me was that I had unintentionally made running into an idol in my life. I was consumed with, when am I going to run, and what's the next race going to be, and how can I fit this in? And what the Lord showed me is that was really an idol that I had taken on, which, you know, sometimes good things can become idols when we allow them to be elevated in our minds above God himself. It's not always bad things that become idols. So in that process, and my friend Andrea was there with me the whole way, we'd talk about this, and, you know, I went up for prayer in church a couple months after I had been diagnosed, and I was sure that I was going to get delivered and healed. And as I was walking back to my seat, the Lord was like, not yet. I need to teach you obedience in all this. And I was just leveled by the Holy Spirit. I was completely undone by that because I thought that I was obedient. And that's the number one trick of the enemy, is to make you think you're being obedient when you're really actually not. So that's the backstory. So the way that I even got to be here talking to you or anything is that I felt like I needed an outlet because I had been running and, you know, I had my endorphins, and I kind of think I fell into like a bit of a depression, because when you aren't getting those endorphins, you know, I needed to find some way to cope. So I started writing. I thought, oh, I'm going to maybe start a website, and that'll be like my way of kind of expressing these feelings that I'm having about, like, my body was failing me, and, you know, I felt like I had failed God because I wasn't faithful. And I started my blog in, I guess it was April 2016, and I just was kind of writing random things, things that came to my mind, no particular schedule, just things that came to my heart. And slowly, I feel like it just began to take shape, and people maybe noticed that I was doing this, and maybe people would ask me about it, or I would notice that people were following along with what I was doing. So I thought, well, wow, this is good. I like this, because I always love writing. And long story short, what kind of happened is the Lord kind of, he had showed me before any of this happened, probably 4 years ago, I was in my kitchen and a song came on, the song Hosanna, I'm sure you may know it, Break My Heart for What Breaks Yours, Everything I Am for Your Kingdom's Cause, and a wave came over me in my kitchen where I literally felt like I could fall out in the kitchen. And the Lord said to me, you need to get your body together, you need to get your finances together, and you need to get your knowledge of the word together. And I didn't understand what that meant. I was like, okay. And then I kind of took that information and I kind of dabbled around and played around, not really very serious about it. But as this all began to happen, when I got hurt and the running, and then I started writing, I feel like the Lord, you know, has impressed upon me a call to in the next part of my life, whenever he allows, that I'm going to communicate with people about these things. So that brings me here, long story short. So I had texted Melissa to say, well, what do you think maybe I would talk about? Well, there's that. Sorry,
you can hear Jesus, right?
So I wasn't sure, like, what would I talk about? And I said, well, here's this idea. I don't even remember what the other idea is. And I said, how about Beauty for Ashes? Because that's kind of my story here, that this thing happened that, you know, was unpleasant and unfortunate and very demoralizing and devastating physically, emotionally, spiritually. And she said, that's the winner. Talk about Beauty for Ashes. So as I began to prepare for this, I thought, well, that comes from Isaiah 61. So I was preparing and I was thinking about Isaiah 61, and then the Lord just kind of spoke to me, like, I'm the master of the trade-in. Right? You think about your old jalopy car and you trade it in for a new one. So I'm going to read to you from Isaiah 61, and I just want to share a few thoughts about the promises from this scripture, because I feel like sometimes when you take a closer look, you see things maybe you didn't see before. So let me read to you. This is Isaiah 61, if you have your Bible or if you have a Bible app. This section is entitled The Year of the Lord's Favor. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting for the Lord, for the display of his splendor. I'm going to go on. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nation, nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. So that's so much, but the Lord, and this is the Lord, you know, I'm not clever enough to think of these things, but it kind of showed me his trade-in policy here. Mm-hmm. So I just want to break this down for you, and maybe some of this relates to you, maybe it doesn't, but I believe all of you are here quite on purpose, and that mm-hmm. God has arranged and appointed this moment for you, and he's just using me, who's quite frankly a foolish and broken person, to do this. Like, I don't have all the answers, I don't have it all figured out, but God does, and you know, he just, this is for somebody, and maybe a few of you, okay? So in verse 1, the first thing he wants to give you is healing and freedom. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. So, you know, perhaps you need to be freed from something, whether it's your own thoughts towards yourself, whether it's what someone else has said about you. Maybe you need to be free of a toxic relationship. Maybe you need to be free of an addiction. I don't know what it is you need to be set free from, but the word promises that you will be set free and that you will receive healing. So whatever that is that needs a touch to be healed, that's a trade-in God wants to make with you. Secondly, in verse 2, he wants to give favor and justice. All right, the Lord talks about here, it's the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God to comfort all who mourn. That vengeance is the Lord's. The Lord will right the wrongs that have been done against you in your life. That justice is his desire. So if you've been wronged, you can trust that the Lord will not only fight your battle, but he will bring justice in that situation. Even though you may feel it doesn't feel that way, it doesn't look that way, he can do that. Verse 3, provision and restoration. And I love this. This is where I kind of got my beauty for ashes here. It's not that it's just that he wants to provide, but he wants to restore. And the trade-in here that he wants to give to you is a crown of beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of gladness instead of mourning. Like, he literally, think of it as an exchange where you can hand him your ashes, whatever has burned down in your life or crumbled. If you hand it to him, he will hand back to you something beautiful, a crown of beauty, because you are a daughter of the King. Restoration and renewal in verse 4. This is for somebody. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. I don't know if you have a physical space that's in ruins. I don't know if you have a relationship. I don't know if you have family trouble or family, the generational bondage going on in your family, but the Lord is, he's come to rebuild.
Amen.
Not just to patch up with a Band-Aid, but to rebuild and completely rejuvenate whatever is going on in your life. In verse 5, he's offering his help and support. Aliens will shepherd your flocks and foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. He's going to send folks into your path who have been appointed and anointed to minister to you. They may not even be believers. They might come into your family and your world and just do things to bless you, because without, unbeknownst to them, the Lord is just putting that into their hearts. And he's going to also put saints in your path who are going to speak a word of life to you. They might minister to you. That he's sending that help is on the way. Verse 6. Sorry, I'm just getting used to my progressives, folks. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations and their riches you will boast. And what I get from this here is that you're going to be called by a new name. You're going to be a minister. You're not going to be broken. You're not going to be down and out. You're going to become a minister of truth, because God's going to put a testimony in your mouth.
Amen.
And it's not to stay in your mouth. You're to share that. You're going to be fed and provided for by the Lord. Verse 7, and this is something that God has done for me, the replacement of ills. He's going to take your shame, and I've had my share of shame. He's going to give you a double portion. So he's going to give you double for your former trouble. That whatever it is you've been through, he's going to replace that shame with something better and twice as much, because God does exceedingly abundantly more than we look for. Verse 8, justice and security. Again, that's the second time justice comes up here. So if you're looking, if you're feeling something's not fair in life, God's economy is not ours. He operates in a different way, and what might look unfair, you know, he might just be preparing you and have you in a holding place for that next thing. So justice and security. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. And in my faithfulness, I will reward them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Okay. Verse 9, you're going to be seen and known as blessed. All right, so right now you might be feeling down or out, or maybe you're looking at somebody else in your life who's down or out. Well, the Lord is not only going to redeem it, but people are going to look at you and go, look at how blessed. And that's going to, your life will become a testimony of just being blessed. Like, I was a teen mom. I should have been, like, statistically in a bad spot, but God favored me. But he didn't favor me for my own benefit. He favored me so I could come tell you this. Amen. Like, this is not just for me, and it's not to bring glory to me. It's for the Lord's glory. Okay. Verse 10. Our response is that we need to respond with delight and praise. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in the Lord. He's clothed me with garment of salvation. So you're not covered in shame. You're not covered in despair. You're covered in a gleaming garment that God himself at his loom has woven for you. This is what you're arrayed in this, right? So that's Isaiah 61. He is the master of the trade-in. So in continuing to kind of just talk about failures and pain, the Lord, and it's so funny, like, he's so good. Like, he just sets us up, because I'm like, oh, what am I going to say? And then he just put this scripture in my path. It was the verse of the day. That's why you need to get in the Word every day, because you get the verse of the day. And you'll be able to share it with folks. Okay, this is from James 1, 2, and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And really, verse 4, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So the scripture came up, and I posted something on Instagram for the blog, and this is the little thought that the Lord put to my heart. My failures and pain have developed me more than any success ever could. God wastes nothing. There's no pain, there's no circumstance, there's no stumble or fail or sin that God doesn't use. He uses every scrap. And so you need to remember this. Gold is refined in the fire. When gold is taken out, and before it can become, you know, what we see that's beautiful, it has to go through a proofing process. It has to go through the heat so the impurity can be burned out. And the impurity could be anything from sin to unbelief to a lack of confidence, whatever that is. The Lord wants to, like, burn that out so that the idea is when someone's refining gold, the way they know it's done is when the one who's refining the gold can see his own reflection in the finished piece. And that's God with us. Like, when he can see himself there, you know, he knows that he's done his work. So, also in Isaiah 48, and I have to apologize, I'm not looking at you because I'm trying to balance a few things here, but in Isaiah 48, 9 through 11, he says, for my own name's sake, I will delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you so as not to cut you off. God doesn't want to cut you off. He might put you in the timeout chair for a minute, but he's not going to cut you off. He's a loving father, and he's just going to put you in timeout. And some of us need longer in timeout than others. I know I needed a long time timeout. Verse 10. See, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction for my own sake. For my own sake I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. Well, that hurt my feelings because that's where I was with that running. I was there. So the Lord had to put me in timeout, and then it was like a hot seat timeout. I was really uncomfortable for a while. But, you know, after a while, and it's not like you're on punishment, but he can't use us if we're not right. So that's why he puts us there. 1 Peter 6 and 7. Back to this idea of refinement, beauty for ashes. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So he's letting us know we are being refined. And the end product is shiny and beautiful. The process is ugly. It's smelly. It's hot. Smoke. We don't like it. But there it is. And back to the art of the trade-in. In Matthew 11, 29-30. It's the last scripture I'll share with you. I'll get there. Matthew 11:29-30. This is the ultimate trade. If you haven't made this trade, I don't know all you. If this doesn't describe you, make this trade. Make it today. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yoke is a like a wooden contraption that would go on a beast of burden, right? And they would plow the fields with it. And the yoke that we're born with is awfully heavy because it's weighted with sin, even from the bassinet, you know, that sin of Adam and Eve in the beginning. And then we come up with our own ways to sin as we get older. And that burden of sin and the burden of the cares of the world and worries and brokenness, this is the ultimate trade-in. God, and you know, it's a security. Mm-hmm. Without the yoke, the beast of burden doesn't know which way to go to do its work. So, you know, putting on that one that the Lord provides, it's like, did you ever put on like a warm pajamas right out of the dryer? Mm-hmm. And it just feels so good, right? That's what the yoke feels like. It's not bondage, it's freedom. It's a mantle of freedom that we can wear. So I would just encourage you, as the Lord offers freely these trade-ins, why would we not? I mean, I'm sure there's somebody here tonight that would love a brand new car, and I'm not Oprah, I'm not here to give you a brand new car, but wouldn't it be great if somebody said, let's go over here, there's a couple dealerships here on 130, pick out the one you like, brand new, right off the lot. Who would move to do it right away, you know? All of us, right? So this trade-in, you know, the only thing it's going to cost you is your troubles, your cares, your past, your problems. That's the exchange. That's a beautiful exchange. So I would just encourage you to meditate on that and pray about that. I can actually, for the benefit of the group, I can post these scriptures in the Connections Women's Group on there. But the Lord, my marking period ends tomorrow, my first marking period at school, and the Lord was like, you need to prepare something to give these ladies. And I'm like, I don't know if I need to prepare something to give these ladies. Yeah. But the Lord was like, no, you need to give them something, because you can't tell them all this and not give them something practical. So on your way out, I just prepared this for you. And it's funny, because I kind of was able to kind of like collect together some thoughts I had already written and then add to them and enhance them. This is just a little... it's a little devotional for you with a pen and a folder, and it's called Beauty for Ashes, Seeking the God of Restoration. And I hope that you'll pick one up and just quietly go through it. If you don't have a daily habit with the Lord, right for you, 7 days. You could at least have 7 days. You can go through this. And just take some quiet time and reflect on that. And it's all connected to this idea of beauty for ashes. And it kind of walks us through like the procedure. Like there's a process. Like the deliverance and the renewal is not like today it's terrible, tomorrow it's going to be amazing. It's a journey. It's a process. Right. For some of us, it's a long, slow, demoralizing, frustrating process. But then all of a sudden, there you are, and it's there you are. So I would just encourage you, please grab one. And I'm just delighted to be able to talk to you. I hope that something, somebody was able to get something from this. You know, and if you are so inclined, I put my card in there, and there's information about connecting with me on social media. My aim is just to put positive stuff out there for folks to be encouraged. There's folks who may not ever get into a church, but if it comes across the way in their newsfeed, then, you know, God can use it. So I would just encourage you, if you've been praying for somebody, or if you've been praying for yourself and your circumstances, that you would just remember God has a trade-in for you. But it does require the submission of what you want to be rid of to Him. You know, I think a lot of us say, yeah, God, I really want you to take this from me, but then we just kind of either snatch it back or we hold on to it. Just let it go. You know, let it go. Declutter. So let me pray for you. Father, I just pray for these women. I pray for each and every one that's here. Lord, only you know all their circumstances. Only you know their hearts. Lord Jesus, I just pray that somehow in this message you would just speak a word of truth to somebody here. And that, Lord, you would begin that process of renewal. And that you would just gently and lovingly reveal yourself, that you would just show yourself strong in the lives of these women. Lord, there are likely things that feel and look completely impossible in the lives of some of these women here, Lord God. And I just, Lord, I just rebuke the spirit of disbelief. I rebuke the spirit of doubt. And I pray, Lord, that you would just pour out a spirit of truth and of peace and of confidence and boldness. I pray that they would speak out of their mouths, Lord, things that are not, that they would call them as though they are, even now, to an expectant faith, Lord, to just speak for that thing that they've been praying for. I know there are marriages and children and finances and sicknesses that need to be addressed, Lord, and by the touch of the Lord, by the covering of His blood, I just pray you would address them, and that in such a personal way as you do, you would minister to every heart here. I thank you for it. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of sharing this, Lord. That you are good and that you gave me a testimony, Lord, that I might use it not just to glorify myself or to feel good about where I've gotten to, Lord, but to proclaim your name, that you make you famous, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right.